And I could go on and on. But there are principalities and powers. They are angelic beings that are engaged in spiritual warfare over geographic areas. There are angels and demons assigned to this area, over Queenstown and the Eastern Shore, over Kent Island and Centerville in this area. And there is spiritual warfare in the heavenlies going on. Paul said we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We wrestle against what? Principalities and powers. What's a principality? It's a place. Angelic beings, fallen or holy, that are assigned and ministering or working in various geographic areas. And what we're going to see next week, and this is a good reason for you to come back, you know, just like, you know, 24, you know, last week on 24, no, previously on 24, and they tell you what happened last week. That's what we'll be doing next week. We'll be talking about what happened this week. But then we're going to go into next week, if you're here, we're going to see that the area where they were going in Macedonia, particularly Philippi, was controlled by something the Bible refers to as a pneuma pythona. A pneuma pythona. Pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A, meaning spirit. Pythona, referring to a python, literally. A python spirit. This area was controlled demonically by a python spirit, which was wreaking havoc and causing all kinds of influence for the prince of darkness. And God had scheduled a power encounter and a showdown between himself and Satan in the city of Philippi that involved this python spirit. And this angel, I believe, and we're going to break that down. We're going to get into details about that. It is fascinating, man. It will rock your world. But this, I believe this man of Macedonia was calling Paul. This angel was calling Paul because the gospel had not penetrated that area. And in order to really wield successful spiritual warfare, they needed Paul to bring the light of the gospel, that truth of God, because it is the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. He needed that truth to come and penetrate that place in order to break those chains of darkness. It's kind of weird, you know, because we tend to think of angels, you know, us needing angels. Oh, God, I need some angels to help me. Boy, I'm in a heap of trouble today. Did it ever occur to us that maybe the angels need our help? Because if we don't go out and preach the gospel, how in the world are we going to break those chains of darkness? How are people going to be set free from the darkness? The angels can help us to do that, but they can only do their part. Angels are not called to preach the gospel. Who is?
We are.
So as glorious and powerful and as strong and as cool as angels are, they got their limits. They're not going to do our job. So that's what I think. And another reason I think this is because, you know, if in case you're saying, dude, D'Souza, man, you are like way out there today. In Scripture, when angels have appeared to individuals, what did they originally often look like? Men. They were nearly indistinguishable from men when their glory was hidden. Even though they are God's army, they are literally God's warriors, the host or army of heaven. Often when they appeared to men, they appeared as men. In fact, Hebrews 13:2 says, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Now, some dude dressed in a gown with wings sticking out of his back walked into your room, you'd probably say, son of a gun, I'll bet that's an angel. But people have entertained angels unawares. In other words, when they encountered them, they looked like men, people, yes. They didn't realize. Abraham had an encounter like that. Lot encountered them like that. Jacob did, and Gideon did. Manoah did. Daniel especially had encounters with people he referred to as a man. A man appeared to me, and then he described him, and it was obvious that he was an angel. Sometimes he even identified himself as an angel. Now, if that's the case, okay, if this guy really is an angel, I'm going to just stretch this out just a little bit longer. Bear with me. We got some great meatballs out there, so hold on. If this man was literally an angel, if that's the case, that may explain why Paul didn't have that vision from Jump Street. Maybe that's why he was blocked for a while in this way and blocked for a while the other way and had to sit around in Troas for a while. Because if this thing was an angel, It may have, with all the spiritual warfare going on at the time, it may have taken some time for him to get to Paul. You might remember, some of you remember in the book of Daniel, Daniel prayed something to God and God sent an angel to answer him right away. But, by the time the angel got to the guy, he said, by the way, I'm sorry for the delay. I was sent as soon as you started praying, but it took me 21 days to get there. Why? He was fighting. There was spiritual warfare going on. The prince of Persia withstood him. In other words, this demonic encounter he had, some host of demons tried to stop the guy. And there was warfare. And it took him literally 3 weeks. Once God sent him to answer the prayer, it took the angel 3 weeks to get there. Because this was serious business. This was not just some ordinary, dear God, you know, please fill my gas tank today. This was some serious historical stuff. So if that happened in Daniel's case, couldn't that have also happened here? I'm not saying it definitely did, but couldn't that be a possibility? That this angel was trying to break through that Python spirit, all the darkness that was in there in Macedonia, and give Paul some direction, but he couldn't break through until he got to Troas. In the meantime, God was saying, well, I don't want you trucking off to these mountains over here. I got business, Paul. I don't want you to go down over here. I got things to do. And so God just kind of kept him and blocked him in Troas and said, okay, wait a few minutes, I'll be right there. My guy will be right there. So I think that's what happened. God has a purpose. He has a strategy. If you're stuck in Troas, don't feel like God has forgotten you. He is doing things that maybe you just cannot grasp or cannot see at the time. Nevertheless, His answer will come. And if you're wondering about all those poor old lost people that God said don't preach to, like in Asia, praise God. God eventually sent Paul back there anyway. He didn't come around the first time. He took him through and then came around the barn, so to speak. And then when he came through Asia, Paul planted all kinds of churches there. He preached the gospel to all kinds of people. In fact, Acts 19 said, when Paul was preaching down there, it says, this continued for 2 years so that all who dwelt in Asia, say all who dwelt in Asia.
All who dwelt in Asia.
Thank you. All who dwelt in Asia, those poor lost souls, all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Gentiles. The gospel was exploded in Asia. In fact, there were of those churches that were planted there, you might be familiar with seven of them. Mark, you might be familiar with these seven churches that were in Asia. Where else in the Bible do you think they appear? Book of Revelation, man. Those seven churches were all in Asia Minor. That's where they were. So God had not forgotten those guys. He was not abandoning those guys. It's just that His timing wasn't ready yet. And you know what? God's timing in your life, when you're stuck in Troas, God's timing might not be ready for you yet. Maybe God has plans for you that would knock your socks off your feet, but He can't do it today. He has other things He has to put in place first. As far as Bithynia goes, God eventually got there also with Paul and with some other folks. They planted a whole bunch of churches in Bithynia. You know, the Christians that eventually came out in Bithynia, that got saved and started living for the Lord in Bithynia, they were such powerful Christians that they nearly completely wiped out paganism in that area. I mean, that place was ripe with paganism. They had temples and they would offer sacrifices to these, you know, demons and stuff like that. And there was all kinds of pagan things going on there. Well, once the Christianity exploded in Bithynia, in that area, when they finally got there, there was a guy, the governor named Pliny, and he wrote this letter to the emperor Trajan. And this is what he says about Christianity. He doesn't like it very much. He calls it a contagion, you know, like a virus. He says to the emperor, he says, you know, the contagion of that superstition, Christianity, has spread not only through cities, but even villages in the country. At least it is certain that our temples now are almost deserted. Customary sacred rites are being omitted, and the purchaser of victims or animal sacrifices is rarely found. They almost completely wiped out paganism. So God has a plan. He has a mighty plan for you if you will follow Him and trust Him. And maybe His timing is a little bit slower than yours. And maybe He's doing things that you can't see or understand right now. But if you will trust Him and follow His leading, He will explode His glory into your life. If you're stuck in Troas, don't despair. God has a plan. He knows how, when, and where. And you can take that home with you. Yeah. Break it down for me, Anthony. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. If you're stuck in Troas today and you would like prayer for patience and strength, if you have any other need at all whatsoever, we would be delighted to pray with you. We ought to close out in worship. Tom, you want to come up here? You guys want to come up? Praise God. Lord, I just want to thank you for the truth of your word, Father. God, your word is a light to our feet, Lord. Life gets so dark sometimes and questions loom so big and we don't begin to understand all the answers, God. But you know what we need in the moment we need it, Lord. And you are always there, God. God, we thank you and we pray that you would just make your presence fully known in our life. Hold us up and strengthen us and give us the courage to go on. In Jesus' name, amen.